Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, is...
Sesame, looking through the looking glass, and Carta.
It's a long middle name, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you see when you look through this looking glass?
I see a knockoff movie made by Asylum of Suicide Squad 2016,
mm-hmm.
which itself was a bad movie.
Yes.
And then this is even worse than the bad movie that it's pretending to be.
That's a very deep thing to find in the mirror.
Yeah.
Usually when I look in the looking glass, I'm looking at myself and I like realize, oh, wait, I got a zit there. But no,
yeah.
No. So the, yeah, today we are covering the movie called Sinister Squad, as, as Sesame has stated, was, released by the Asylum, you know, our friends who brought us Transmorphers and The Day the Earth Stopped and, Sharknado. But anyway, so...
And also, a movie we reviewed about The Fast and the Fierce, I think is what it was
called.
Yeah,
it was The Fast and the Fierce, which has a sequel out, I guess, too. But one's actually more about cars. So, unlike the one we watched was mostly about a plane. And
yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, we also covered a Thor ripoff, too, that they did. So, yeah.
That's right. I forgot about that. Almighty Thor, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, today we're covering The Sinister Squad, which was written and directed by Jeremy M. Inman. He's also brought us, let's see what his directing credits are. As a director, he's directed Avengers Grimm, which is technically a prequel to this movie. Came out a year before. But they have a different person playing Rumpelstiltskin in that one. As they do in the sequel, Avengers Grimm 2 or whatever. So it's like three movies with Rumpel, and he's played by different people in each one. He's got a... He also directed this movie, and then he directed a movie called Band in Boise. As far as writing, his writing credits go, he wrote The Avengers Grimm, some movie called Martian Land, Sinister Squad, Avengers Grimm Time Wars, Band in Boise, which I guess was a TV series. I don't know what that's about, but I'm curious now. Battle Star Wars.
Okay.
I'm going to say that again. It's Battle Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, Battle Star Wars. Okay, gotcha. Yeah,
I do believe we have to cover that in the future. Monster Hunters, Dirty Little Deeds, Revenge, Best Served, Chilled. Yeah, so, you know, some great products there. I mean, you know, productions there. Yeah, so he both wrote and directed this, as well as the prequel, and he wrote the sequel. So yeah, and then we've got characters in this played by people you've never heard of, so it doesn't matter. No offense to any of you people that were in it, but whatever. But the main one is Johnny Ray Diaz playing Rumpelstiltskin. And then there's Christina Licardi playing Alice. So, initial thoughts here on this thing.
Oh, man. It felt like a Street Fighter, Legend of Chun-Li.
Yeah.
Where it just felt like it was like 5 hours long. Mm-hmm. Even though it was only an hour and 27 minutes, including credits.
Yeah.
And it just felt like, oh, God. I mean, I did not like it. I just thought it wasn't even bad enough to make fun of. It was just like slow paced, and the pacing was all over the place. It was slow, yeah. And then all of a sudden the pacing picked up like way too fast, and then there was a climax, and then there was credits, you know, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I couldn't even get into, like, making fun of it. It was just really...
No, it's so...
Yeah.
Like, ironically, the cover art for the DVD, the subtitle or tagline to the movie is "Super bad, but in a good way." I know they're talking about the characters in the movie or something, but...
Yeah.
But if you apply that to the movie, it is super bad, but not in a good way.
No, in a bad way.
Yeah, it's super bad in a bad way. It's definitely. Yeah, I mean, first off, okay, the concept here, it's basically the plot is all over the place. So,
yeah. But it's not the one plot, it's like three, like, at the same time.
Yeah, and it's like, so basically what they're saying here on the Asylum Films wiki page for their for their summary of the thing is when a violent supernatural cult known as Death's Messengers reigns terror on Earth, a team of malevolent storybook villains is coerced into fighting in the modern world, but these baddies must learn to keep their true wickedness at bay if they want any chance of freedom. That is not the movie I watched.
No, it's not.
No.
It's not even close to being that.
Yeah. Basically, I don't know if I would have seen Avengers Grimm if this would make any more sense. I doubt it. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Ah, man, like... So, I guess... I can gather what the main plot was supposed to be is that Rumpelstiltskin is like basically like a magical drug addict, and there's like dust from like some magical mirror that's still around, and he needs it, you know, whenever he needs like a fix or whatever. And he was like basically doing like a deal with this guy named Piper.
Yeah, he was working. Who is the Pied Piper?
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I want to point out something about him in a minute, but go ahead.
Do it.
Yeah.
Well, just saying that he was working for Alice, and then they like transport him into like some weird other realm, I guess. Or that's why I didn't quite understand, because
what at the end?
Underworld
at the end?
What that? No. Like the realm that Alice lives in, like, isn't that different?
No, it's still it's where they were.
Oh, okay.
They didn't transfer anybody there. It's just where they were.
Oh, I thought they did. All right.
Well, yeah. Whatever.
And then, like, they're running away from Death because he has messengers, and they get this, oh, God, this dumbass witch demon woman, and it's like, she had way too much screen time, in my opinion, like, way too much, and
yeah,
she just looked like scary, and it was like too much gore for a movie that it was like they didn't have a theme to this. It was just like, let's bring someone who looks like they could be a Walking Dead character and like eat people, but then at the same time,
I mean, wasn't there kind of like a witch character in the original Suicide Squad movie? But I mean, what I'm saying is I'm sure they did it a lot better. I don't remember the original Suicide Squad movie at all. I remember the Suicide Squad, but Yeah.
Yeah, The Suicide Squad. I remember that.
Which was
that just was better.
It was a good movie. Yeah.
It was not better than the first one, but it's just like, you know, like the whole like jerky movements, like trying to make it like a horror movie from that time, where for some reason for like 8 years, every single horror movie director thought it would be cool to do this like weird like jerky movement to like make it seem scary.
I think it was more than 8 years, because this was like 2016. So like, I mean, right. that was first kind of done in like I'd say like The Ring or something like that.
Yeah, it was just like it was like way overdone at that point, where it's just like, it's like every movie had to have this like weird girl or female figure doing like weird contortions and shit like that, and that was like supposed to be scary, which it was, but it was just like her making like the stupid growling, like Walking Dead noises. Like, I don't really like that noise, so it was like it kind of took away from it a little bit for me, just trying to watch this movie, having her be like the whole time, just like, you know, like, I don't know. She would have been good to have like 5 minutes tops, but she got like half the movie, it seems like.
Yeah, and
so.
She's like this witch type character, and her name is Carabos, or Carabosse Boss. What, I don't know. It's
okay.
It's Carabosse. I'm looking up that name, and basically she's what you know, like Sleeping Beauty, Maleficent, the, you know, the wicked queen. Basically, in the original Grimm's fairy tale, that's what she was. But that does not seem at all like... That's the problem I have with this, is like, these people have names of characters from fairy tales, but they're nothing like those characters. They take like the best qualities of those characters and just askew them completely. It's...
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, so she's like obsessed with death, and death like is kind of like this sarcastic dude. I guess they thought it would be kind of funny to be like, oh, death is actually not like super scary. He's kind of like a irritated, sarcastic guy, so that somehow makes it cool. I don't know. I guess that's what they're thinking. And then, and like, I guess in order to communicate with him, she has to keep killing his messengers, and then somehow that allows death to like inhabit their body and like talk for a few seconds before like disintegrating, I guess, into the underworld.
Yeah.
And so I guess part of the plot is that death really wants Rumpelstiltskin for something, but we don't know why. So he's running away. And then that's when Alice pretty much kidnaps him and puts him in a jail cell. And it's like one of those like Hannibal Lecter type of masks, you know, over his face. And basically says, you know, that he has to tell her whatever she needs to know, or he's just going to be pretty much there for like the rest of his life. And then there's all this pretty much like gathering the team is a big part of like the first half of the movie. So they get like this dude who like kills women with knives, but somehow like has like their essence in a knife or something.
It's Bluebeard, which the original story of Bluebeard was about a man who killed all of his wives. This knife thing is not in there at all. And he marries this young girl and says that she can have the reign of this palace that they live in, but she can't go into this one room in the basement. She of course goes into the room in the basement and discovers all the dead wives.
My God.
This was written for kids, I believe, in like the 1600s or something. So, you know, he finds
was
out.
Was it really?
What's that? I guess. Yeah. I mean, like most of these, like the fairy tales that we know, the like Disney-fied versions of are like this too. Like, you know, it's like the Little Mermaid dies at the end of the Little Mermaid. And
Oh, really?
Yeah. I know there's a lot of, you know, a lot of differences and dark stories behind a lot of these, fairy tales that we think are all, you know, happy endings and, you know, riding off into the sunset sort of thing. We've got Disney-fied or Disney-fication of them all. But basically then in that story, the girl the girl who married this guy basically for his money.
in the story, you mean?
Yeah, turns out he's a serial killer. I mean, honestly, so, honestly, this might make a good horror movie if you did it right.
No, it actually sounds like a like they could have just made that movie instead of this.
Yeah.
But what I was gonna say though was that story really meant for kids or was it for the parents? Because back then they used to marry off their daughters to older men. You know what I mean?
I think
it was for them. Like, hey, make sure this guy's not like a serial killer. You know, like
I think a lot of them were just like cautionary tales to scare kids or something. You know,
mm-hmm.
but no, I mean, even like the one we know about, like Hansel and Gretel, they want to cook the kids in an oven and shit. You know, it's like
I know,
But anyways, I guess in the end of that story, she ends up somehow he tries to kill her and I guess she kills him or something. And trying to remember all the details because I read this a long time ago. And then she ends up marrying some dude she likes instead. And she somehow inherited all of her husband's money then.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I mean, the serial killer, she inherited all of his money?
Yeah.
Or...
Yeah,
okay.
Who was her, you know, her first husband or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know what that is. But anyways, he's named Bluebeard because he had a blue beard.
Okay.
Yeah. That's where they got this character. Has nothing to do with the character we see in the movie.
No, because this guy, yeah, he kills all of his wives, but then he gets, like, magical powers from doing so. And
yeah, and he's got the powers are like in the knives he has. He has like seven knives for seven wives or something. Or
I don't know. It's just weird. And then like, yeah, because like the one of their recruiters is Goldilocks.
Yeah,
is a recruiter, and also Piper is the other recruiter, and he tried to kill Goldilocks, and then when Goldilocks picked up the knife, she could sort of like feel all of this like energy from it or something like that, or all the wives that he's murdered. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. But a lot of this stuff doesn't make any sense in the movie. It's like they just come up with like the idea like, oh, what if they had this cool power and don't really explain why it's there or what use it even has. Well, and no, some of the powers are useful, like the Queen of Hearts has a useful power. You know, Rumpelstiltskin has kind of a useful power, but a lot of them it's just like they just thought it would be kind of cool, like, oh, let this guy have knives and wear a trench coat or something like that, like, you know. And
yeah,
I don't know.
And so Pied Piper here, who is a good guy in this story, he's a complete villain. He's working, you know, Pied Piper is working for Alice, who's like the, you know, there are good guys basically.
Yeah.
And but you know the story of the real Pied Piper, right?
No, I don't really know that one at all.
Okay, Pied Piper of Hamelin is basically, I mean, I'm going to do this in a nutshell and I'm leaving out a whole lot. But there was like this town that was overrun with rats. They hired this piper who had like a pipe that he would play and it would take the rats out of town. But he also, his magical pipe could mesmerize children, and he ended up taking all of the children out of town and killing them. And he's a good guy in this.
And he doesn't play a pipe at all in it. No, he does have a little.
He has it in his hand at one point, but I'm like, what was their decision to make him one of the good guys?
I don't think there was any decision. No. I don't think they even thought it through. I didn't know. I thought that was like a dart gun that he shot at someone. I didn't even realize that was a pipe.
Yeah. He had a pipe that he was playing. Yeah, it's just okay. Like, yeah, but I just like, I mean, I might be, you know, mixing up some of his story, but basically I do know that he takes all of the children of Hamelin out of their town and leaves all the whole town childless.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure he kills the kids.
For what purpose? Like, for what reason? Just because, like,
I don't know what the moral of the story was. Maybe it was like a warning to kids to, you know, not talk to strangers.
Yeah, but a lot of these stories also seem like they're like a message to the parents though as well. Like for example, like with the rats, so it's like, is that like, oh, be careful who you make a deal with or something like that, or like,
yeah,
Like, yeah, sure, they'll get the rats out of here, but they's also
they probably have the double meaning, but they were written for kids. So it's like,
I just wonder though if it was like a double, I don't know, whatever. And then who cares? But
yeah,
these stories are like 500 years old or whatever. And they're not,
yeah, like that one.
European stories, what's that?
That story, I think like traces it back to like the 14th century or something.
Oh, okay, wow.
1300s actually. Yeah, that was the 14th century. So yeah. So at least maybe even earlier. So yeah.
People are really weird. You want to talk about people being weird today? You go in the past, people are like way weirder than they are today about shit. Like just like the stories. Maybe some of them are lost in translation, but like when you look at like, you know, some of like the old Egyptian like myths of the gods and stuff like that, where like this god was created from like, you know, drinking the urine of another god or some shit or one of them had something to do with like semen. It's like, what the fuck were you guys smoking like when you came up with this stuff? Like,
yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, it's like the whole like even like, you know, you go back to like one of the first plays ever written was Oedipus Rex. And it was about a dude who slept with his mom and killed his dad.
What'd you say? What's it called?
Oedipus Rex.
Oh, yeah.
Because I mean, that's where the term Oedipal complex comes from. But it's okay. That's considered like the earliest or if not the earliest like stage play ever written. And people were watching this shit and it's like, yet people will freak out because there's a gay character in a movie nowadays. So anyways,
exactly. You know, it's like, well, that's okay though, even though it was like, it was an accident. I'm like, yeah, okay, I get it. It was an accident. That's the whole point of it, I guess, whatever. But it's like, yeah, I don't know. And, you know, this movie could have just taken like one story from like an old and just kind of worked it out instead of like 80 different characters from different, like, stories, you know.
And it's like, okay, like Rumpelstiltskin, his character's nothing like the real Rumpelstiltskin either, because Rumpelstiltskin was a guy that, you know, there was this braggart dad who he would tell the town that his daughter could weave straw into gold, and and she couldn't, but then this magical creature named Rumpelstiltskin came to her. She didn't know his name. He agreed to do that if she gave him, like, in some stories, like most stories, like the cleaner versions, it was like jewelry that she had to give. But other ones, he basically raped a little girl. But
let's say you cut off for a second.
In other versions, he raped the little girl.
Oh my god!
Yeah. So
yeah, what is with the? I don't know. That's just like,
but basically, in return, he would turn the straw into gold, you know, and then the king agreed that if she did it three nights in a row, that on the third night he would marry her. So this is another, like, you know, and I'm pretty sure she's like a teenage girl and the king's, you know, like, an adult. But then again, who knows?
I mean, unfortunately, that was pretty much what was normal back then.
And
I mean, like, it's just fucked up, but,
basically she ended up, he wanted to take her firstborn child, Rumpelstiltskin did, for some reason.
Oh yeah, that's right.
but only if she could guess his name, but then she actually just followed him and overheard him saying his name.
Oh, right.
And then when, you know, asked about it, she said, hey, your name's Rumpelstiltskin. And then he didn't take her kid away from her.
Because whenever I'm walking around, I just say my name to myself when I'm going for a walk. I'm just like sesame, like, you know, like
earlier when I went for a long walk today, and every about, you know, couple minutes or so, I just see like, oh man, Mike, you're walking.
Yeah, exactly. And someone behind you is like, hey, your name is Mike. And you're like, ah, god damn it. Like, now my magic won't work or whatever. Like,
yeah, now I can't have their firstborn child. Wait, what?
Yeah.
So why would you want somebody's firstborn child? I don't get that.
knows what these stories? I don't know. And then the only Rumpelstiltskin I've been interested in though is the version from Once Upon a Time.
Oh, I know, because that was a great. If you want to see good adaptation of fairy tales, watch that show. It's an amazing show. I love it. Also, go back and listen to our interview with one of the cast members. Shit, I'm blanking on the dude's name now. But I'm Lee Ehrenberg. I knew it was Lee. I just blanked on the last name for a second. But Lee Ehrenberg. Uh-huh. Yeah, like definitely listen to our interview with him because he's such a zen, cool guy. It was awesome interview.
Yeah.
So listen to that. But, you know, and watch Once Upon a Time. The thing is, I think all multiple seasons of Once Upon a Time felt like it went by faster than this fucking movie.
Oh, yeah. It's all about pacing and good writing, you know, and this had neither of those things. So,
yeah, I mean,
and, oh, God, the other thing, too, about so. The other thing that really bothered me about the movie, aside from the plot, is the unnecessary amount of silly sound effects.
Oh, yeah.
Why did they think that was cool?
They were only on Rumpel.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, it was only whenever Rumpel moved and stuff, you had these like over-the-top cartoon sound effects. It was like something out of a Looney Tunes cartoon or a Hanna-Barbera or something, you know? It was like...
Like,
he turns his head and you get the whoop, whoop, you know, and stuff like that. You know, it's like, okay, yeah.
I don't know, dude.
Yeah, I mean,
so is that what's going on? Because I don't even know what else is going on in the movie.
The basic, you know, plot of this movie, if you want to call it that, is Alice and her group of people that she calls Looking Glass. That's the name of her group. You know, get these like famous villains together and create their own kind of like suicide squad, but it's a sinister squad, which we get the titular name at the end of the movie, but the idea was that they were gonna help her take on death. I mean, my thing is, too, you've got all these, like, fairy tale creatures, and the bad guy you decide to create is death.
Yeah. I know, it's just so, like, stock, you know?
I mean, death's just a generic character. He's not a fairy tale character, per se. So, yeah, and so death is, like, popping into these people on modern Earth or whatever, and, yeah, and in these like henchmen type guys that are just generic, and they're all played by the same dude. They're basically trying to get Death and kill him. So, but Death makes a deal with Rumpel at one point where he's going to take Rumpel's body and let Rumpel go, you know, be the king of hell, basically, you know, the king of the underworld. And Rumpel agrees to do that because he kills his girlfriend who we meet at one point, who is the Queen of Hearts, named Gelda. I will tell you, the only cool thing in the whole movie was done by her. At one point, she has this like controlling ability because that we didn't know she had or something, and she makes one of the henchmen take his gun and shoot himself in the head by making a gun with her finger and putting it to her head and pretending to pull it.
Yeah, she can basically control people.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought that scene like looked cool, unlike the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
So yeah. You you got your good guys here. Your bad guys that you got really are Gelda that we talked about, Rumpel, Karaboss or whatever, the fucking creepy ring walking dead witch. And you've got the big bad wolf, you know, who I guess is kind of a bad guy, but he also at one point has like a, you know, is in love with Goldilocks.
Which I guess.
I don't get. Wouldn't he be in love with Little Red Riding Hood because they at least be in the same fucking story? But anyway, so...
Exactly. Yeah, she's not even in the story, though. So, no.
Little Red Riding Hood is in the other two movies of this series.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, but she's not in this one.
Oh, wow.
So, I don't know. It's...
Okay.
Yeah.
Who knows? Well, they said that this guy wasn't really bad because he was, like, eating animals at the zoo, so he wasn't really trying to, like, kill people or whatever, so...
So, yeah, he's not really... He's kind of on the good guy's side, but he's also got some bad things. But anyways, you also have, far as, like, other characters, you've got a character named Hatter, who is the Mad Hatter from Alice in Wonderland. At least we have two characters that are in the same fucking story in this movie.
Right.
Because you have Alice and Mad Hatter is talking in some weird, vaguely European British accent or something. I don't know if the actor is actually, British or something, but his accent was all over the place. They give him drugs at one point, which made no sense to me, and somehow he was able to go into the underworld by doing that. This movie was all over the fucking place.
It's just really hard to even talk about just because there's so much stuff going on and also so little going on. And
and most of the movie took place in like this one building.
Yeah. Like it was where they were staying at, and then her heir, I guess, or whatever. And I don't know, I'm like blanking.
Yeah, because like there's no sense. The way it ends, we can just get to the ending here. The way it ends is Rumpel made this deal with Death. And he had these like wristbands that Alice could blow him up with. And so he switches, he puts Death in his body, and somehow they need to shake on it so they can change, that Death can get into his body. And when they shake, he had told Alice to press the button and blow them both up, and somehow that still allowed Rumpel to go to the underworld, but it killed Beth.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense at all.
No, I don't know how Rumpel would have survived.
Wouldn't it be the opposite, where Death would just go back to the underworld and have to restart his whole plan, and then Rumpel would just be dead?
That's what I would think, but I don't know. I mean, none of this movie makes any fucking sense, so...
I mean, we're not deep enough to understand the complexities of their plot, They're like, wait, like, don't, you can't go by your logic, bro. We're like 5D. We're playing like 5D chess here, man. Like,
I heard it took them 30 years to write the script.
Really?
No.
Probably
took them 30. Thirty minutes to write the script. You know what? I'm pretty sure that The Asylum is going to be our first, if any studio releases a movie completely written by ChatGPT.
Oh God.
They're going to be the first.
Oh yeah, I'm sure of it. They're probably already working on some stuff right now.
Yeah. Oh boy. The what do you type in there? It's like, write me a knockoff of Indiana Jones.
I've been so obsessed lately with chat. I mean, I haven't been using it for like the last 3 days or so, but I would just like having to write the most weird like shit possible. Like I was like writing scenes from like Negan from like The Walking Dead, where it's like write a scene where Negan is about to kill the people, but then at the last second he decides to give them clam chowder to eat. The Manhattan style specifically, and then it just like writes it off, and it's just like, yeah, like he's like, you know what, like I'm actually feeling kind of generous today, I hate to let good food to waste, and then like he like motions to one of his lackeys and they just like bring out like two bowls of like clam chowder. He's like, this is Manhattan style, this is my own personal recipe. It's like, what the fuck is he? He's like, eat up, boys. It's like, what the hell?
It's like, I had it, and I sent it to you. I had it write a TED talk from Larry the Cable Guy,
Right. Yes.
And it was actually good.
Yes.
I was surprised. I mean, I mean, it was completely generic, but I was like, yeah, I feel inspired after reading this.
Well, because he used the famous catchphrase, get it done.
Yeah, because like, I told you, know,
stuff like that.
I had it write a TED Talk about getting things done. So I kind of.
Yes, that's what it was.
Yeah, and
getting things done.
Yeah. And so there's that, you know, but I mean, earlier today I had it, just out of curiosity, I had it write a review of this movie we're covering now.
Oh, wow.
And it completely reviewed a different movie that doesn't even exist. It was going into plot points aren't in the movie. It was just weird. I ended up deleting it. I don't know what it was saying, but it was just like, okay, it's not really watching this movie, or I mean, not that it would watch, but you know what I mean? Because it's, you know, it's already the pre-learned stuff, you know, it's just regurgitating stuff that's already been out there basically in different ways. It's all it does. I mean, it's not going to create something original. At least not yet, but when it does and it becomes our overlord, we may still have to watch bad movies and review them. I don't know yet. It may make us do that.
For AI. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be all we do all day. We won't review just one a week. It'll AI be like, it'll be like four a day. We'll have to just watch four bad movies.
They'll make us watch on like double speed and then like train our brains to be able to take in the information that quickly. Mm-hmm. And then we got to go and then sit us down on a table or chair or whatever. And it's like, okay, you must review this movie right now. And then it's like, plop, here you go. And then.
Yep. So Sesame, do you have any, any other thoughts about this fairy tale of a film?
God, no, not even close.
No thoughts. I don't either.
No.
I know I've said this before, and I'll say it again, but this is definitely the worst movie we have ever watched.
Oh, it is. I was thinking, like, I'm like, we always find a way to surpass it, but no, this was just...
This one's going to be hard to top.
So bad and everything. It really was. Because I thought that, what was the one that was really bad? Or the Street Fighter one, I thought was really bad, and this is...
Oh, that's Street Fighter movie is like Casablanca compared to this or something, you know?
Yeah. And because at least the Street Fighter movie, there were scenes outside of one building. It wasn't just all in, you know.
Yeah.
Man. But that one also had a bigger budget, too, which I was surprised of how many millions of dollars the Street Fighter budget was.
That movie should have been better than it was.
Oh, yeah, it should have been,
Oh, boy.
Like you said, it probably most of the budget towards Michael Clark Duncan's role in the film,
it was his paycheck
playing Balrog or whatever.
Oh boy.
Interesting.
I wonder what the I don't know if they have it listed anywhere, what the budget for this movie was.
Oh god, it would be interesting. It might be a lot, but it might also be really small as well.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
It just really depends on like how, like, again, not to make fun of our friends, you know, who made the Reconciler, but like,
yeah,
that movie probably had a smaller budget and that one was more interesting than this one was, and it had less action in it. And
it at least had like a plot. You could follow in like this.
Yeah, there was an actual story to this, to that movie. I mean, and actually, that movie is not that bad. Honestly,
no, it's
like,
not.
When I picked that,
After learning from those guys, like that, the one part was added on, it made more sense. It would have been better as like a short film. Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know.
So I would actually wouldn't mind if they would make a sequel, like The Reconcile Part 2 or something like that. And like band upon it, you know, whatever. But I don't think they're going to do that. But it would be kind of cool. Well, their friends, Scott Galbraith, and what was the other guy? Sean Justice. If we say friends, we talked one time.
But no, they're a good guy. I talk to Scott from time to time on Facebook. He's a good guy. There's no actual budget listed anywhere, but I guess the DVD and domestic video sales is $30,000 is what Sinister Squad made.
Oh my god. Wow.
You would have think it would have made more.
That's not good. That's not good at all.
I don't know how recent this number is though, so it might be that that's what it made in the first week or I don't know. You know, it's hard to say.
Did this come out like in 2000?
It came out 2016. It came out 2016. It came out the same week as David Ayer's Suicide Squad. So yeah.
Yeah, that's really recent. I mean, I know they try to make it so it's close to
they usually release same week. I mean, I used to work at Blockbuster and I hated having to I had to tell because I was worried about people. Like somebody comes up to the counter with The Day the Earth Stopped and I was like, you know, this isn't the movie with Keanu Reeves, right?
They're like, wait, what?
I was like, you're gonna have to go down to the AMC theater or whatever the hell and watch it there. You know, it's like you can't. That's because it's usually but the
some
week,
people
week that
they rent the knockoffs on. Yeah,
on purpose. Yeah, I know a lot of people rent them on purpose because I used to do that too. And I mean, when I'd get my free rental, when I got my free rentals at Blockbuster, I would always rent one of these. So just for fun. Yeah,
it kind of reminds me of what was it, Snakes on a Train or something like that?
That's one of theirs. Snakes on a Train, Transmorphers, Atlantic Rim instead of Pacific Rim.
Atlantic Rim. That's not even effort right there.
No, they got two of those.
This is like,
They have two. Yeah, The Day the Earth Stopped. You know, they got a bunch of them. The Da Vinci Treasure.
Yeah.
Instead of the Da Vinci Code. Yeah. I actually watched The Da Vinci Treasure. It's not a bad movie.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that was before they got completely horrible. That had C. Thomas Howell and Lance Hendrickson in it. Might run review.
Not all of them. The one with. Yeah, like, you know the one with The Rock where it was the movie where it was like a volcano or something like that, earthquake?
Yeah.
You remember that movie?
Yeah.
They made one of those.
Well, San Andreas.
But it was actually pretty. Yeah, they made a knockoff of that one. It was actually pretty, I don't know if it was Asylum, but it was actually pretty good. It wasn't even that bad actually at all.
Yeah, some knockoffs are good. I think they come in like different tiers, like where there's the ones that are made from people who actually think they're like, okay, I'm trying to prove myself. I've got an okay budget for this movie.
Yeah.
I'm going to use the budget to the best of its ability and maybe make a piece of art in a way, you know? And then maybe if I make this here, you know, Warner Brothers or Disney or somebody will see my efforts here and hire me to work on their next movie. Then there's the people that, you know, think they're doing that, but it still sucks.
And then there's the people
that just accept that they're making a piece of shit movie and go all in and making a piece of shit movie. Yeah.
So, yeah, it was like whatever, dude.
Yeah.
I know.
I don't know. But yeah, anything else you want to say before we wrap things up here?
No.
Okay, folks.
No.
You know, before we go, I just want you to remember that if you ever have to write any holy writing and you want everybody to accept it and make sure that it's holy, write it on Swiss cheese. And,
yeah.
I don't know what that meant. But, So, be good to each other. Check out our Patreon. Check out our TeePublic. Check out all2real2.com for everything else. And remember that much like Gilda loved her Rumpy, I love you. And Sesame loves you.
Sesame, yeah.
And until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.